This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A massive fire causing a power outage that shut down London's Heathrow Airport. Chaos for nearly 150,000 travelers at one of the world's busiest airports. It could be closed until tomorrow. President Trump, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and Elon Musk all denying a New York Times report that Musk will be shown a presentation today on how the U.S. would respond if there was a war with China. Musk will be visiting the Pentagon. A new study about weed and your heart.
Data on more than 4.6 million people shows that young marijuana users are six times more likely to suffer a heart attack than those who abstain. Researchers say cannabis may affect heart rhythm and raise oxygen demand in the heart muscle, even in people under 50 years old. The study is published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology.
ABC's Jim Ryan. As promised, President Trump signing an executive order on Thursday aimed at shutting down the U.S. Department of Education. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden held a virtual town hall last night. Van Orden said that he is not holding in-person events because of disruptions caused by outside agitators.
The reason we're doing this in this format is because George Soros is funding groups of people to go around the country and disrupt Republican town halls. And that is just disrespectful to you. And I'm not going to allow those folks to do that.
Van Orden said he was invited late to and didn't attend in-person events in Viroqua and Eau Claire this week hosted by what he called a George Soros-funded group of leftist clowns. He added he would hold another virtual town hall next week. Van Orden also criticized fellow Congressman Mark Pocan and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz for holding events in the 3rd Congressional District, labeling them outside agitators. La Crosse voters will decide on a new mayor this spring. Shondell Washington Spivey, a community organizer and volunteer who earned both the most votes in February's primary and the endorsement of the Democratic Party, will face La Crosse City Council President Chris Kahlo in the Tuesday, April 1st spring election in the officially nonpartisan race. In last week's mayoral debate, the candidates split on how to deal with the city's homeless population and how to attract young families to the city. Home sales are increasing in Wisconsin, but so are home sale prices. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
The Wisconsin Realtors Association's February report was released Thursday, and it shows the median price for a home in the state is now $305,000. That's almost an 11% increase over 12 months. The lack of available housing inventory means it's still a strong seller's market. Mortgage rates are up a bit. Average 30-year fixed mortgage rate is 6.84%, up from 6.78% in February of 2024.
Housing affordability is expected to stay low with high demand, low supply, and high mortgage rates. Today will be cloudy with seasonal temperatures around 50 degrees in the Coulee region. Tomorrow will be cooler and sunny ahead of our next weather maker. Rain will go from Saturday night through early Monday with little or no snow accumulation expected. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More March Madness. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, continues tonight in Cleveland with the Marquette Golden Eagles against the New Mexico Lobos. Tip-off time at 6:25. The Badgers will play Brigham Young tomorrow night in Denver at 6:25. Wisconsin beating the Montana Grizzlies 85-66. Head coach Greg Gard able to give all of his guys some playing time, including Carter Gilmore. 8 points, 6 rebounds.
Our bench has been one of our strengths throughout the year. We've gotten great contributions off it. You saw Amos tonight. McGee's done that throughout the year. Janicki's done it at times. And then obviously Gilmore.
NBA, the Bucks rolled over the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. Their road trip continues tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings. Women's college hockey, number one ranked Wisconsin against Minnesota tonight in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. The winner advancing to the championship Sunday at the Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a few sprinkles possible this afternoon with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s today. It will get a little breezy by later this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low to around 20. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. We'll see some scattered rain and snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
On April 1st, we have a choice to make. Donald Trump wants us to elect Brad Schimmel to the Supreme Court. Elon Musk's even spending millions to elect him because they know Schimmel will do whatever they want.
even if that means letting them cut healthcare and food for hungry kids or eliminate the Department of Education. That's why we need to vote for Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I've made sure rapists, murderers, and child predators were behind bars where they belong. And I trust women to make their own healthcare decisions. Brad Schimmel doesn't, but I always will. And that's why I'm asking for your vote.
That's Judge Susan Crawford, protecting our rights, our families, and our community. So on April 1st, help keep Trump and Musk in check. Go to the polls and vote for Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Make the right choice. Vote Susan Crawford on April 1st. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hanisch. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
What's up now?
Brother, what's up? This is a good big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
What's up, man? What's your name?
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. What's going on?
It's Friday, Earl. It's Friday.
I'm going to stop even asking that question because, I could predict, what was going to come out of his mouth. It is Friday, and
You don't hear, I bet you on Thursday, you don't hear him saying, yeah, it's Thursday.
No. So by now, if you don't know, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. You wake up every morning waiting to turn on the news or open the paper or whatever, see what the hell happened. It's like every day is a new day with new things to look at, worry about.
Sandy, it's like, a baby exploring the new world, right?
Yeah, it's why we have a sports section, because before you get indigestion looking at the news, you can open the sports section and there your emotional problems are, you have them, but they're all sort of in control. And the reason you go there is to have the fun of figuring out wins and losses and things that really don't matter, but they seem to matter.
So, Sam, before we get into all the things that you and I are going to talk about this morning, I have to ask you, they're talking about $100 million for a state Supreme Court seat, $59 million last year.
That's a tenth of $1 billion.
Sandy, $100 million for a state Supreme Court seat. While they're cutting, we can't afford food stamps. We can't afford all these other things. But for heaven's sakes, there's another Supreme Court race at the state level next year. What are we talking about? $50 million increments every time a state
Supreme Court? We're trying to get the very best justice that money can buy.
That's
clearly
it.
It turns out that, these are designer justices. These aren't just, these are very expensive justices. No, it's crazy. The fact that this kind of money gets spent by private interests suggests that private interests have a great deal at stake with respect to who these justices are. And, particularly the Republican Party realized 15, 20 years ago that controlling the courts was very important because their intent was to test the edge of the envelope with respect to the law, particularly constitutional law, because it's Supreme Courts that specialize in constitutional law. So that's what that's what's at stake here. That's why someone like Elon Musk would want to spend a whole lot of money in Wisconsin. It's not to benefit Tesla. It's to try and make sure that when constitutional questions are heard in Wisconsin with respect to the Wisconsin Constitution, as it relates to political matters, they'll get the answer they want.
So at the root of it is to convince the voters that their guy or their person who they're supporting is, right, when the time comes, is going to carry their freight. I mean that clearly has to be the reason that kind of money is being spent.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think the people out there are as interested in that issue as the people who are providing the money and therefore sponsoring the ads. The ads are designed to inflame people about issues that might relate to whatever it is that the polls have suggested, right, the people are particularly keyed up about. And that's what they're playing with. But the Supreme Court decisions aren't going to relate to those matters that are the subject of these ads almost ever. That's not what's at stake as far as this big money is concerned.
No, you know, Sandy, I certainly know and kind of understand that the Supreme Court, the people who are putting all this money in this race, don't give a rip about, you know, somebody's right to abortions. That, you know, that's clearly not what they're concerned about. But I guess what I would say to you then, Sandy, is if they're doing that with the state Supreme Court levels, and it's not going to go backwards, right? I mean, they're going to continue to pour this kind of money. At some point in time, doesn't it get to a point where they can't continue to do this, and the damage that it does to the American people who lose faith in a system that they can see is being handled like this?
You mean rigged, as it were?
Well, yeah, you said, I mean,
well, I mean, you know, it is being rigged in a way. I mean, with money, money is rigging politics. It's not the kind of rigging that Donald Trump talks about, because he's behind this notion of using money in this manner. You know, I don't mean behind it, the guy that's causing,
right,
it. He's someone who obviously believes in it.
Yeah, and
but, you know, I don't know. I think that this, it could become the way in which the American public wakes up and realizes that money in politics is a big problem, because spending that kind of money on a Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin shows us that, you know, from the political standpoint, how this court decides matters like gerrymandering, court, you know, the map rigging that's gone on to try and put the thumb on the scale of who controls, which party controls the state house, it's clearly a matter of great financial concern to somebody out there.
So, Sandy, and Brendan says, would you be referring to the current U.S. version of oligarchy? Well, so Sandy, again, as a citizen, it makes me lose total faith in anything that the government stands for. How can I, as an American citizen, see what's happening here, and then my vote, which they, you know, tell us is sacred, and yet my vote is, you know.
Well, actually, what this really means is that your vote is for sale. I mean, you know, they're using this money to try to affect how you vote.
Right.
And so what we all should do is realize that this money's being spent this way. We ought to turn our back on the ads. We ought to roll up our sleeves and do the research we need to figure out who it is we ought to vote for our own reasons, instead of for the reasons presented to us by sound bites and advertisements that have been bought for the tune of $100 million.
You know, Sandy, I just, you know, needed to get your thoughts on that, because, you know, then what does a United States Supreme Court seat go for?
Well, that's the presidential race,
yes,
right? That's, in fact, that's, you know, on, for a while, when abortion rights was the biggest issue, that was the selling point for which president you ought to vote for.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out of the way and get it off my chest. So let's, Sandy, talk a little bit about what is transpiring. You wanted to talk about what's really transpiring, what's happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, I listened to a fantastic piece done by Ezra Klein. He's got a daily show that he puts on, and this one involved Gillian Trent, who's a PhD in a British woman, a PhD in anthropology, a trained economist, and she's an economic reporter. And so she was asked by him whether the Trump administration has any strategy or is it just confusion reigning? And she pointed out that, no, there is a strategy. And she did a very cogent job, I think, of explaining it. And, you know, there has been talk, I think we've all heard about something called a Mar-a-Lago Accord. No one's ever put any flesh behind it. But there's talk about at some point in the not too distant future, a whole bunch of countries, representatives being summoned to Mar-a-Lago to hammer out a deal that would essentially put America in a different position in the world than it's in today. And I that's the underlying strategy. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, and Moran, the guy who's the head of the Council of Economic Advisors, have both put out extensive writings, and Bessent has gone out and done speaking about the strategies. And this was up, you know, approximately a year ago. So these are strategies that have been hatched for some while. But the notion is, unlike Teddy Roosevelt, who talked about walking softly and carrying a big stick and walking softly, meaning, you know, be strong, demonstrate your power, but don't use it. You know, walk softly and be diplomatic. And unfortunately, Donald Trump in this whole Mar-a-Lago strategy is just the opposite. Walk loudly and whack people with the stick. And the notion is that America has a wide range of powers. We have economic power based on the scale and value to the rest of the world of having access to our marketplace. We have military power. And so the notion is that we would use the power of America in every way possible to cause other countries to do the things we want them to do. And, you know, I think after the break, we can talk more about this, but I think that we need to analyze, and I think the problem with this theory is that using this power will amount to shooting America's wad. Once you use the stick is much less valuable. The stick is much better carried in a scabbard as a threat than it is actually utilized and put into play. Because once it's put into play, the rest of the world has to figure out how to avoid the pain of the stick, and they will get together with one another, ally. They'll find ways to make the United States irrelevant to them rather than vital to them, which is the notion that Donald Trump believes that the United States is vital to the rest of the world, and therefore we can demand from the rest of the world compensation so that they can benefit from this vitality that we have. And we can discuss it. I'll try to explain after the break. But my fear about this is that what Donald Trump's going to do is shoot America's wad ineffectively, and we will lose this power without getting the advantages we need, rendering us standing here alone only with our military power. And the use of military power is dear and expensive.
855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County. But they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
We passed up on the stairs. We spoke of what's and when. Although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone a long, long time ago.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. In-person absentee voting has begun. Check your voter registration status, find your polling place, and make a plan to be a spring voter. Learn about all the ways to register to vote ahead of Wisconsin's April 1st spring election, and what you need to register in person on election day at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. So Sandy is my co-host, and Sandy, the music?
Well, the music is, that's David Bowie, the man who sold the world. And basically, I tried to find music that related to the question of whether nations should flex, or whether people should flex their muscles and use them, or whether they ought to simply have them and operate on a peaceful basis and not a coercive one. And so that's what we're talking about today, because obviously the theory in the Trump administration is flex your muscles, use your power, get what you can in every transaction you have in the world, and use your power. And, you know, I think an interesting question the American people ought to figure out is, what do you know? Everyone talks about America being the most powerful country in the world, but what is that power? You know, what from what is it derived? I mean, you, I'm sure, believe that, Earl, that it's the most powerful country in the world. What do you perceive to be the power of the United States that makes it the most powerful?
Well, so I always, you know, first go to its military might. When you look at the military might of our country, which again is very small population, only 4% of the overall global population, but our military might is more fearful and frightful than any other nation on the planet. And I think, Sandy, that, and this is just my opinion, that everything else is derived from our military might. So when you have the kind of power that America has put together and possessed and continues to keep, you know, up, in the end, you know, we could, that's the big stake.
Well, it turns out that our capacity to have that military power is derived from the fact that we have a huge, prosperous economy. We have the capacity to tax our citizens to the tune of $865 billion a year in order to support the cost of it. And so it's our financial might that stands behind the capacity to have that kind of military power. And financial might and military power sort of go hand in hand. But we also are a financially mighty country. We are the biggest marketplace in the world. And the Donald Trump theory is that these tariffs are a big club that can be used with other countries, because tariffs are essentially the way that you close the door to the American economy with respect to the sale of whatever good is being tariffed. And so you can open that door by reducing the tariffs. And what is clear is that Donald Trump has plans on using both those levers. He's talking about withdrawing our military support from countries if they don't pay adequately for it. And he's also talking about putting tariffs on countries to make it harder for them to sell their goods in our country, to share in the benefits of our economy. And so that's another price that he wants to be able to hold over the heads of foreign countries in order to secure leverage. And then the question is, leverage for what? And that's what we need to talk about some more. But the fact is that our leverage with respect to both these matters relate as well to goodwill. We have promised to extend our military support to people, and that has made them our allies. And their being our allies is important to us. So we extend our military support to other countries, and it benefits us. So I'm not sure how big a price they should pay for it. We're doing it for our own benefit. And if we charge them a price for it, they will try to figure out the economic options for paying that price. They can find another ally. They can build up their own military. They can do a variety of things, but they can try and make our military less relevant to them. The same is true with respect to trade. When we put tariffs on countries and close our door, or try to close our economic door to them, they will find other doors and they will find other places to go. And what the world will try to do in the face of this kind of strategy is to make America as irrelevant to them as they can make us. And so that's the error of this strategy. But the Trump administration and the advisors, Peter Navarro, the Scott Bessent, this Moran, the head of the Council of Economic Advisors, the people behind him have a cogent strategy, and that strategy is use this stick, exact a price from everyone so that we can get our way. And our way is to try and make our dollar weaker while at the same time having the dollar continue to be the reserve currency for the world. These two things are mutually exclusive in terms of outcomes. And so the only way to get the other countries to help us keep our dollar at a low value so that our exports are cheap is to force them to do things that will cause that outcome. And the way we intend to force them to do that is to withdraw our military support from them, or threaten to, and to otherwise put tariffs on them. And both these things are going to lose our friends, lose our allies, and shoot our wad. And shooting our wad will be the last bad thing that the baby boomers do to the next generations, to leave them with a big debt and to have lost our place in the world.
855-752-4842. My guest, co-host Sandy Williams, and you can join us. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. In-person absentee voting is underway in La Crosse. You can vote in-person absentee today at the UW La Crosse Cleary Alumni and Friends Center from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can also vote early tomorrow at City Hall from 9 a.m. until noon. Next week, four locations will have in-person absentee voting available, including City Hall on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. A list of locations and voting hours is available at lacrosseeagle.com. To find your polling place and to see what's on your ballot, go to myvote.wi.com. Gov. Area school boards will have contested elections on the Tuesday, April 1st spring election ballot. Six candidates are on the ballot for La Crosse, although one, Kevin Hunt, announced he is no longer seeking the office, leaving five people for three seats. Three incumbents are among five candidates for three seats in West Salem, while Onalaska has two incumbents among three candidates for two seats on its school board. There are also contested school board races in Cashton, Melrose Mindoro, and Westby. Board members are elected to three-year terms. State legislators are holding public hearings on the upcoming state budget. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
Lawmakers on the budget panel will travel around the state to gather input on how the state should spend its money. Public hearings are April 2nd at Kakana High School, April 4th at the Wisconsin State Fair Expo Center in West Allis, April 28th at Hayward High School, and April 29th at North Central Technical College in Wausau. People wanting to speak will need to fill out a form on arrival.
Republicans are ignoring Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal and building their own budget from base. Aquinas rallied from down 14 in the second half of the Division IV State Boys basketball semifinal game last night against defending champion Mineral Point to win 57-54. The victory avenges a loss in last year's state tournament. Aquinas will play Bonduel tomorrow in the Division IV championship after 1 p.m. Meanwhile, Cochran Fountain City plays Turtle Lake in the D5 semifinals this morning. The winner advances to the championship game tomorrow morning after 11 a.m. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season 1 was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season 2 of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a few sprinkles possible this afternoon with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s today. It will get a little breezy by later this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low to around 20. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. We'll see some scattered rain and snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break in the Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station, then get set to win starting Monday, March 24th. It's time to break into spring with WLCX, the Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary, and
I think so.
We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue on location from Richland Center, Wisconsin. We'll have the general manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee, and host of Those Were the Days, and look at our brackets. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Where the money's gone.
comes in, where the winter nights chill us to the soul. Will you feed the fire, spin the straw to gold when the mud is gone?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Civic Media's next statewide text to win contest is right around the corner. Be sure to tune in at 7 a.m. beginning Monday, March 24th, for your first chance to listen for a keyword to enter in for your chance to be an hourly winner or enter to win the grand prize. You will have four chances to enter by listening in at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. Hours each day throughout the week. Statewide text to win contest. Daily chances to win a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. Plus, every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen size mattress set from Burlow Mattress. All right. So it's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams. So Sandy, the music.
Well, that was Cher. Although I'm not sure it sounded like Cher. It was When the Money's Gone. When you spend your money, it's gone. When you expend your powers and shoot your wad, maybe it's gone too. And that's my concern, and that's the concern of a number of people watching. You know, the to get wonky for a minute. But first of all, I did notice one of the listeners texted in and talked about the moral power of the government, the United States. And that is sort of the third leg on the stool of our power. We have economic power. We have financial power, largely derived from the fact that our dollar is the reserve currency used throughout the world, which really makes us the financial center of the world. And that is probably our largest economic power. Then we have economic power as a marketplace. We have the moral power of being the leading nation in the free world. And we seem to be dispensing with that one. Donald Trump has made it clear that being part of the free world isn't necessarily an ingredient that is important to him with respect to who we wrap our arms around. And the rest of the free world has announced basically that maybe they need to find a new leader of the free world because we seem to have abandoned it. So that's the kind of ways in which the United States can lose the power that we have, because our power isn't all tangible. Some of it is just based on principle and moral.
Well, you know, Sandy, some would say and challenge the moral fiber of our nation. When you look at the fact that many of the mineral resources for third world nations and others are, you know, we kind of take advantage of those nations. And, you know,
not as many nations as we'd like to, because Donald Trump is out there trying to cut new deals for mineral resources with Greenland. And, you know, we want to wrap our arms around Greenland. We'd like to take over Canada. Canada is obviously a very resource-rich piece of geography. And so, you know, we have a president who's not behaving necessarily in the manner that the rest of the free world would view as being part of the membership in the free world.
So, Sandy, let's then, you know, because you're the guy who read Project 2025, and Donald Trump is not the orchestrator of these things, is he?
No. I mean, okay, Project 2025 was definitely written outside of his presence, and I don't know how much of his knowledge or not, but I can tell you that his administration is following it very closely, as if it were a playbook.
So how much of the conversation that we just had, the things that you just got through talking about, aren't really Donald Trump's ideas and plans? He didn't conjure them up. He's the face of it.
Well, I think he's the tool that's being utilized by a bunch of people who have very specific objectives in each of their areas of interest. in particular, and also including these economists or financial people, Scott Bessent. It's clear that what's being implemented here is a strategy that's extremely revolutionary, different. And being different doesn't make it bad. But my concern about it that makes it bad is that I think the strategy is very faulty. And it's faulted by the fact that using our muscle and putting a price on everything that we do for the rest of the world will cause the rest of the world to operate like any prudent business person. And that is that they'll try to find someone who doesn't try to exact such a high price and try to make us as irrelevant as possible. And that's something that can be accomplished.
So, Sandy, let me tell you why it makes it bad. Because not only for other peoples of the earth, but for the American people, for the average American, this poses insurmountable, things for people to be able to overcome. The income of the American, average American is not rising. All of the things that we're talking about are going to benefit the wealthy people of America, not the average person. So,
well, the problem here is that Scott Bessent has persuaded himself that the people who this will ultimately help will be the people who get the manufacturing jobs that will be recreated in America by partitioning the world, by getting the rest of the world to bow in acquiescence to the United States and to do the things necessary to allow us to maintain the dollar as the world's reserve currency, which is something that will be much less important in a world partitioned by tariffs, to allow us to keep the world, the dollar as the world reserve currency. And at the same time, to start purchasing our products because they will take the steps necessary to allow the dollar to become much weaker. One of the reasons the dollar becomes very strong in the system in which we are the world's reserve currency, which has been the case ever since the Bretton Woods Agreement right after World War II, is that everyone has to buy dollars in order to do their dealings in dollars.
So, Sandy,
and so that constant stream of purchasing of dollars keeps the price of dollars high, which makes it harder for people to buy our products out there in the world when we try to export them, because a rich dollar makes it hard for them
to buy. So you're saying at the end of all of this, they really are looking for bringing these manufacturing jobs back to America and making life better for the American citizen? Is that what we're to believe?
Their perspective, they're going to bring the business back to America and the profits that will be derived from that business for the business people who will be rewarded by having businesses return to America for manufacturing.
Yes.
And to change the nature of our economy, something so that it looks much more like post-World War II America, which incidentally was only something that could be achieved because the rest of the world was on its knees. America was the only economy. Now we want to try to accomplish this in a world in which there are many other economies. And one of the big prices that people that Scott Bessent thinks that we can cause other countries to accomplish this is our military power. We will withhold our military support. The fact is that we give our military support for the reason that it's beneficial to us. And it also gives us all these client countries who are purchasing military goods from us. What this strategy is going to do is to make us much more irrelevant from the standpoint of military force. We will no longer have a bunch of allies who we can organize to accomplish things in the world as we have over the past 75 years. And we will become, from a financial standpoint, much weaker the day that the dollar is no longer the reserve
currency. Sandy, the average American who struggles, those things don't impact their lives. When they talk about bringing the corporations back, they're going to be automated. They're not going to offer the opportunities for the average American to buy into and have that middle-class lifestyle that we're talking about that occurred 30, 40 years ago.
They won't have as many jobs. I mean, this thing, the promise at the end of this thing is to shift the economy in a manner that would make us look much more like the economy of the 1950s than the economy of today.
Yeah, but
that would be good. But the problem is the price the American people are paying for this experiment, which is faulted and based on faulty logic, is that we're going to have recession. The pain that now Donald Trump is talking about, that Scott Bessent is obviously whispering in his ear about, is that we'll need to pay the price of a recession, at least a recession, in order to get to this promised land, which is this revised world order.
So Sandy,
and the problem is that Tom, Dick, and Mary experienced the pain, and we're never going to get
the economy of the 1950s employed Tom, Dick, and Mary in manufacturing jobs that allowed them to live middle class lifestyles. That's not going to be what's happening now. And so all of this that they're talking about does not include Tom, Dick, and Mary in them being able to lift themselves up. And so all of this conversation and talk is impacting the wealthiest amongst us and not the average person. What about the average American? Where do they fit in this?
Well, I mean, the fact is that if it was accomplished, it would help Tom, Dick, and Mary. That has to be conceded by any economist who looks at the plan and thinks about it. But the problem is that the way they intend to accomplish it isn't going to work. And the rest of the world is demonstrating that the rest of the world has motivations that involve their own national pride and their own national interests that will cause them not to genuflect in the manner that Scott Bessent thinks they will, when they are all summoned to Mar-a-Lago for the purpose of hammering out an accord that accomplishes something like this.
Well,
you know, Canada is already demonstrating it.
Well, Sandy,
and so
Tom, Dick, and Mary are sheep in this. And so what happens to Tom, Dick, and Mary? Okay. I mean, I know you say that, you know, the economists think that, yeah, things will get a little better for Tom, Dick.
No, economists don't believe that this is going to happen. I'm simply saying that the strategy that they describe, if they accomplish it, would accomplish the objective of improving the economy for Tom, Dick, and Mary. The problem is that I think almost every economist who will look at this plan will say that in the long run, it's not going to work. Tom, Dick, and Mary are going to pay the price in the meantime, and they're not going to get the gain and the of the objective, because the objective, it won't be accomplished. It's got too many internal inconsistencies in the strategy.
You know, Sandy, by the time, if it does work, by the time it works, they're cutting off all the social programs that would help Tom, Dick, and Mary bridge the gap until it happens. What is Tom, Dick, and Mary supposed to do in the interim?
Well, you know, that's how these people solve their conscience. You sent me a video yesterday about the fact is they do want to cut out all these programs. They do want to come as close as possible to eliminating the income tax. You know, Donald Trump fallaciously and disingenuously yesterday or day before yesterday said that his intent in the long run, when this program is successful, is to eliminate income taxes for families with income up to $150,000. That was just designed politically to make those families who earn less than $150,000.
To think it includes them.
Think this includes them, and this might be a good idea. You know, and but you know, they do want to, and they're in the process of carving up the American government, and the only thing that they can carve up that will cut out big expenditures are programs that expend money on behalf of Tom, Dick, and Mary. Medicaid for, you know, medicine for the poor. How do they expect the poor to get medical assistance without Medicaid?
They don't care about the poor and the average American. 855-752-4842. You know, it's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. With major changes coming out of Washington, our Wisconsin Supreme Court could be the last line of defense for our rights. The ACLU Voter Education Fund does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants you to cast an informed vote in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. So where do the candidates land on issues like abortion? Here are the facts. Brad Schimmel stated he supports banning abortion. Susan Crawford supports access to reproductive health care and successfully protected abortion rights while representing Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. On April 1st, Wisconsin voters will make a critical decision about the future of abortion in our state. To learn more about the Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, visit aclu.org/WI2025. Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all. From Colorado, Kansas, and the Carolinas too, Virginia and Alaska, from the old to the new, Texas and Ohio and the California shore, tell me who could ask for more.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Join the growing team at Civic Media. While many other broadcast companies in Wisconsin are shrinking their staff and stripping away services like weather, news, and sports, Civic Media is doing the opposite. Our team is growing, and we're hiring qualified candidates to join the radio network. Check out all the open positions at civicmedia.us/careers as the Civic Media family continues to grow. Sandy, the music.
Yeah, well, it's about the exercise of the American power, whether we should or not. But clearly, Donald Trump's theory is that he wants to walk loudly and swing his stick, and you know that's a problem.
All right, Tony says I've become more receptive to the idea of a universal basic income with the automation of so many jobs, of fund it from taxes on billionaires. Let's go to Tim. From Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Tim. You say what? Tim, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on something.
He turned that.
Turn your radio off, sir.
Mar-a-Lago Accord.
Yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, for years and years you've had oh, the religious right, and a lot of these people talking from it. Oh, it's bad socialism. They don't like the Bilderbergers and Davos. Well, that's what these people are leading us to. That's all I got to say.
All right, Sandy, you want to respond to that?
Well, I think what he's saying is that Mar-a-Lago and this convocation at Mar-a-Lago would be another version of Davos, where all the wealthy people in the world get together and decide what ought to happen in the world. And yeah, I mean, the whole principle of this notion of the Mar-a-Lago Accord is that Donald Trump's going to call all these countries together and say, okay, who's in with us? If you're in with us, you know, we'll lower our tariffs with respect to you, and we'll consider giving you military support. But the price for that is that you're going to have to do a bunch of things that are not necessarily in your national interest in order to do it. So, for instance, the American debt that you hold, you'll turn that in, and you'll take back American debt that pays no interest for 30 years, and so we can try and cut back on the cost to the American budget of the carrying cost of our debt, because all of you people, Japan and China, and you people who hold a great deal of our debt, will be cudgeled into agreeing to take no interest on that debt for the life of the debt. You know, and those zero coupon kind of bonds sell at a big discount. So that's actually also kind of a fallacious theory, because, you know, the debt, unless it's taken at a great loss by each country. And the fact is that the more we put a price on holding our debt, the more likely it is that those people will want to make sure that the U.S. dollar isn't the reserve currency, because the only reason they hold that debt is because they need to do so in order to preserve their dollars to carry out transactions with the dollar as the reserve currency. So this particular ploy is, in the long run, going to destroy the dollar as the reserve currency, because it's going to increase the price to all of the countries for that proposition.
All right, let's go to CJ. CJ, you say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. What you're seeing is leadership. In just a matter of a couple of months, our borders secure, and now countries are respecting our president.
Let me ask you something. Is this about countries respecting our president? The president. What about the American people? I don't give a rip about the country. I mean, the countries respecting Donald Trump.
Well, I just want to stay on subject, and so I'm just interested. CJ's called in. I'm interested in whether he thinks this Mar-a-Lago Accord makes sense, whether exercising and using the American military muscle and tariff muscle to cudgel countries into doing things for us in the long run won't essentially shoot the American power wad and put us in a totally different position.
Well, just the way he did it for NATO, and I hear people misrepresent that he wanted to get out of NATO. He didn't want to get out of NATO. He wanted countries, and he got countries to pay their fair share.
Hey, CJ, you're not talking about anything that we're talking about, okay?
Well, I think what he's saying is that
what he's saying, but go ahead.
Well, the strategy has worked for NATO, but that's not actually so very clear either, because what's happening is that these countries are setting up their own defense systems. Germany just today, or this morning, actually today, announced they were going to spend $1.1 trillion in the pursuit of expanding their military. They're going to make us irrelevant militarily. And one of our biggest powers, as Earl mentioned earlier, in the world has been the military power. Not that we're going to cause countries to cower because we'll attack them, but because we'll defend them.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Hang on.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday, we'll talk to the Economics Department Chair at UW-Eau Claire about the hit Wisconsin's going to take in Donald Trump's trade war.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mary Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. British Airways has canceled all short-haul flights scheduled to fly into or out of Heathrow Airport today in London. There is a power outage throughout the whole airport because of a big fire at an electrical substation a block away. At least 1,300 flights have been affected. Israel's defense minister says he has ordered ground forces to advance deeper into the Gaza Strip, vowing to hold more land until Hamas releases the remaining hostages it still holds. A federal judge ordering the Trump administration to answer questions today about the deportation of those hundreds of Venezuelan migrants.
U.S. District Judge James Boasberg, in a sharply worded order, calling the Department of Justice's explanations of this incident woefully insufficient. And he slammed the DOJ's apparent attempt to stonewall the court. The White House claims the judge's written order holds more weight than the verbal order he issued from the bench earlier.
ABC's Terry Moran. The administration argues the president has the legal authority to carry out the deportations. This is ABC News.